This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome John Benson to the show. You may have heard his name. He's quite well-known in marketing circles, and I had the great pleasure of attending his mastermind meeting in Boulder, Colorado, just about 2 months ago. Enjoyed it thoroughly. He is the creator of the Mega Cash Generating Video Sales Letter and the 3X Video Sales Letter Formula, and he's coming to us today from beautiful Malibu, California. John, welcome. How are you?
I am great, Jason. How are you doing?
Good, good. You just got back from 10 days in Maui. How was it, my friend? I like Maui. Maui's a good place.
It was magical. My wife and I had a great time. I could have done 20 days, of course, because the last few days you just want to lay out by the pool and do nothing, but it was awesome. It was much needed getaway.
You're better than I am, because whenever I go to Maui, it's like I get island fever after about 4 days.
I don't think it exists in my genome. So.
Yeah, well, okay. That's good. You're more centered than I am, I'm sure. I want to talk about some of the psychology of marketing, John, and I was really impressed with your authority on that subject and how just amazingly small words and phrases influence, you know, persuasion and buying decisions and so forth. And, you know, just sort of that overall format of videos, there's quite a method and quite a psychology to it.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So little things, I'll start with this, and this is one of the most simple things to grasp and to put immediately into your copy. Yet it's one of the ones that I see is the most overlooked. And I'll give it to you in an example sentence. I'll just rattle off the top of my head. You know, you would think that people like you would realize that the word you is the most important word that you can use in your sales copy. However, your sales copy can be greatly amplified to your audience if you just take the time to count the number of the words you find within each sentence of your copy. Now, that's not a particularly excellent copy, but it's pretty damn good because the word you is used over and over again. I've counted, like, for example, in one sentence, I've used you or your 4 or 5 times, and the sentence is only 15 words long. So it's something that I pointed out. It becomes painfully obvious, but your subconscious mind, when you're reading copy, and most of it is subconscious, does not pick up on this. It's just going, oh, feed me, feed me, feed me. And it's so essential to think of it in that perspective. So one of the tricks I give for helping people do this is to put a picture of your avatar. And you should have an avatar, by the way. An avatar is just your ideal customer. And we can get back to ideal customers in a moment. I'm going to flood people with content here. So ideal customer is very important. But put a picture of this avatar right on your monitor as you're writing the copy and just talk to that one person. And just that one trick alone with the you trick, it can literally double and triple conversions for people that don't already use those principles in their copy.
Okay, fantastic. That's good to know. So talk to your avatar and use the word you.
A lot.
A lot. A lot. Okay.
You really can't overdo it. In fact, I've tested this. I wrote a sentence once with 9 yous and it had 22 words in it, if I remember correctly. And I said, does anything look weird in this sentence? Do you? Can you pick out the strange word? And people were saying weird, odd, because that was in there. Or people were saying, I don't understand what that word means because I pulled it out of context of a product. But no one said, yeah, it's gotten a million yous in it, man. What's going on? Are you got a stutter problem or something? Because you don't pick up on that. Your subconscious mind simply reads it. We just love the word so much. Hmm. Even the most selfless of us just will not pick it up. So it's very important to use.
So the word we isn't that effective.
No, it is very effective. Okay. That's a rapport language. So you is what I call it, like, direct. That's a direct language. I'm speaking directly to you. I'm not as much building rapport as I'm talking to you, at you, with you. Rapport is far more with us. It's far more talking about, like, you and I both know. In fact, smart people everywhere know. You see what I just did there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and I just anchored us to smart people everywhere. So it's a little pat on the back. But what I'm saying, you and I both know that without changing your diet, you're never going to get that body that you long for, right? You know, everyone's going to say, yeah, we know that, right? And so to make sure that someone says yes, that they know that, I'll throw in the phrases like, you and I both know, and you know, smart people everywhere know this, that without changing your diet, you'll never get the body you want, right? I kind of talk and copy. So I'll talk to people in that way sometimes without away from the copywriting world. But it's a great way to communicate because it builds so much rapport with the person that you're talking to. Because when I say you and I both know, there's only two people in the room. So, and you can say we both know. And using the word both is huge. So check out the difference in the sentence. We know that, I'm going to use, because I'm in the fitness industry a lot. So I write for the fitness industry a lot. We know that exercise changes your body. That's obvious, right? Well, we know is often used in sentences that follow. Studies have proven at university settings that la la da da. You know, it's more of a we consciously into the human species know. Where I say we both know. Just the addition of one word changes the entire dynamic of that sentence. We both know that exercise can radically change your body. Notice what I did there. Mm-hmm. I didn't even say our bodies. So that's one thing I do a lot in my copy, and people don't pick up on it unless I spell it out, or if they're professional copywriters, they'll pick up on it. But I'll say, we, da-da-da-da-da, you. So in other words, I'll take it from we, the two of us, to you. And you can do this, and it's grammatically completely incorrect, but you have to throw the rules of grammar out when you write copy. But it's a great way to build rapport and then direction. So I'm building rapport with we and building direction with you.
Okay. So what is the basis of all this, John? Is this all NLP or neuro-linguistic programming stuff, or does it come from a variety of sources?
Yeah, it's not all NLP. People have kind of attributed me to being an NLP guru. I'm really not. I'm well studied in it. Harlan Kilstein is a great NLP guru when it comes to copywriting. In fact, he's the only one I know that's actually certified to actually do it on a business level. But it's NLP sort of. I mean, it's not the science of NLP per se. That's more geared toward things like presuppositions and, you know, future pacing and things like that. That's more NLP. This is just more the study of psychology and language. So if you want to call it NLP, you can. It's easier to say. So I often just lump it all in with NLP. But really, it's more or less just how the psychology of the mind works as far as persuasion goes. So I think of this as more of a persuasion tactic. That's what I call it in my courses. This is persuasion skills.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a, like, if we go just back up here, and we talk specifically about a couple of techniques, but if we just back up and go to the 30,000-foot level, mm-hmm. what is the sort of overriding big concept or big idea that you want us to get? And then, you know, we'll go through some more examples, I'm sure.
Yeah, we dove into something very specific right off the bat, and I wanted to do that to set the tone of this mile-high view, if you will. Your copy, whether it's in a sales page, a video sales letter, I do a lot of those, as you know, blog posts, emails, it doesn't matter. This is all applicable. Whenever you're writing something to influence someone to do something that you want, hopefully that something is something for the better. You're trying to influence someone to lose weight and get healthy, and you have a product maybe that does that. So it's a win-win. So whatever you're writing to influence, think of it that way. It doesn't have to sell something just to influence anyone. You need to take the approach that you're writing to one single person. For example, if you were writing to your sister to influence her to come visit you for the holidays, you would be writing to literally one person, right? Well, imagine the power you would have with a list of 100,000 or 10,000 or 5,000 or however big your list is. If you wrote to that list in an email and sent them to a page on a sales page or a video sales letter, and the language was like it was written to your sister, perhaps not quite as personal, but almost as personal. That's the concept I'm wanting to get across to you. Because yes, there are times when you would say to one person, I'm using a sister as an analogy, you know, there's a study that came out that really blew me away. I think this will really impress you as well, that said blah. But I'm still talking to one person. It sounds like I'm still talking to one person. I'm quoting a study. I could talk about any fact, anything about a product or a service that is a benefit, a feature, something that I want people to know about, whatever, and make it sound like I'm talking to one person. And that's really the big, big secret to a lot of the great copywriters in the world, is they start from that mile-high framework that I'm going to be speaking to one person. So that means that you have to do your homework. If you're a copywriter, and most of you guys aren't, and I'm not suggesting that you should be, what you should do is take the skills of a copywriter and apply it to your business. That's what I teach. I don't try to teach people how to become copywriters except for a very select few people. I want to teach people how to use the skills that we have and continue doing whatever you do in your own business, whether it's one of the best podcasts in the world like you, or whether it's someone that's trying to sell car parts. It doesn't matter. Take the skills and apply it. So do your research, know your avatar, know your customer, know your ideal customer preferably, and know them so well that you can speak right to them as if they're one person. Do that right off the bat. Your sales and conversions will increase.
Let me ask you about the avatar concept and the sort of the ideal customer or ideal client concept, if you will. You know, it's interesting, and it goes along with your talk to one person philosophy, which I think is great, by the way. But your avatar isn't, like, if I look at my different companies that I own and my different customers for them, gosh, you know, they're not all 42 years old with two kids and, you know, and their kids are, you know, X ages and this is their problem. They're all different. I mean, they really are. You know, how do you have an avatar, really?
It's tough. And the best analogy that I've heard that makes sense to me, especially as a football fan, think of a football stadium. In a football stadium, you've got people literally of all ages, from infants to elderly, right? All over the place. Yet, if you were to picture in your mind the prototypical NFL fan, what would he or she look like? That's how you define your avatar. Mm-hmm. Because here's what's interesting. The avatars are also fans of the fans. Think of it that way. Mm-hmm. So your avatar for your podcast, for example, might not be a 41-year-old executive that earns $200,000 or more a year that lives in a blah, blah, blah. That may be like a lot of them, and that's great. But think how many people would like to be that person or like to hang out with that person. Mm-hmm. That's the secret to the avatar. So when I think of an avatar, I think of someone that not only fits the ideal person that would buy my product and be a raving fan. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. Not someone that would say, well, I guess I'll give it a shot and kick a tire. I'm looking for the raving fans. I think of how many people want to hang out with them, how many people would like to be like them in some way, form, or fashion. And that really expands your avatar reach.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah, that's a good way to think of the avatar. So what are some of the biggest problems that marketers have today?
The biggest problem that marketers have today is they're trying to churn and burn without having any personality, without having any sort of real voice. And I said this in my most recent book, that the people who are in marketing, the only people to survive the oncoming tsunami that's going to take out the vast majority of these sometimes very lucrative, but they're really one-bit marketers, guys that have a pithy way of saying things that really don't believe at all in their product, but they know how to communicate it. They're going to be swept away because more and more, and we see this so much, in what YouTube celebrities becoming super, super famous, for example. So famous that South Park just did a spoof of it in their last season finale. You know, of a YouTube celebrity that I've never heard of because I'm not into gaming, but it's the most subscribed YouTube channel in the world, if you can believe that. Beats YouTube at YouTube. So these are becoming celebrities in and of themselves. And where I'm going with that, it's essential to understand that the reason they are celebrities is because they have personality. They have a voice. They have a voice that people will rally behind. So in your community, in the fitness community, in the internet marketing community, the people with the voices, and I'm not talking about my literal timbre of my voice, I'm talking about people with something with passion, something with heart, something that's probably abrasive as well. I mean, because everyone that's got a voice, if you think about it, they're huge raving fans. Howard Stern leaps to mind, you know,
right.
Massively abrasive. Also massively followed. So I'm not suggesting that you go out and be abrasive, but you need to be yourself. And my own personality can be somewhat abrasive in a humorous way. I don't try purposely to alienate someone like Howard Stern would do. But, well, I take that back. I alienate Justin Bieber fans very quickly. So I may have a lot of inside jokes about that. But people will either respond to it or they won't. And that's what you want. You want raving fans. You don't want a whole bunch of lukewarm, yeah, I think I'll try that out, guys. And that's what the marketing world looks like right now.
That's an interesting topic, and I have long talked about the concept, John, and I want to see if this is the same thing you're referring to, the concept of intentional polarization. Mm-hmm. And I use the example of three radio talk show hosts in L.A. When I lived in L.A., I grew up there, and Orange County, you know, I'd listen to talk radio, and I thought the most rational, logical guy on the radio, who, by the way, used to endorse us, was Dennis Prager. Okay. Mm-hmm. But Dennis Prager is just not that popular. The guys who are popular are, you know, I mean, he is, of course, but he's not as popular as, say, John and Ken or the more or Rush Limbaugh or, you know, the more sensationalistic type of people. And that might even be the wrong word, but I'll just say the more opinionated type of people. How's that? Mm-hmm. There's something about, like, people want to follow people who have the guts to take a position, don't they?
They do. And an opinion gives them the neurological ability to make a decision. And that's what most people cannot do. I'm not trying to be insulting to anyone in the audience, but the studies just show this. The majority of people have a very difficult time making a true decision. And when I mean decide, I mean from the Greek word, you know, where you sever all other possibilities. It's very difficult to make a decision, let alone on a turn of a dime. You know, it's very difficult to do that. And when you have somebody that you like as a person that you can say, yeah, I kind of dig this about him or her, that's kind of weird, but for the most part, they're cool. You kind of look up to them. You kind of think they're awesome. You wouldn't mind having a drink with them, whatever. And then they say, you know what? The one thing that I will never eat is fish. Ever, ever, ever. I'm making this up. I eat fish all the time. But I will never eat fish. The reason why is it's mercury. And it's the, you know, the toxic meltdown in Japan. It's onward and so forth of their logic on fish. People want that. They need that. They need to be helped along in making decisions. And it really helps to relax their mind because people are busy. Everyone that's listening to this right now is really busy with their lives, their family, their children, if they have them. And the last thing they want to do is that they're in debate on what words to use in their copy or what meal to put on their table. They need somebody with a very hard opinion that's got results that says, yeah, this.
Okay, so I'm wondering, do you have a number two? If it's have opinion, use polarization, help people make the decision that way. I love that. That's good. And it seems pretty easy to do that. Is there a number two biggest problem marketers have after that one?
I go back to what we were talking about originally, and that's the fact that marketers try to market to everyone. So that's a huge thing I'm dealing with right now with one particular writing client. I don't take very much writing anymore as a professional copywriter, retired, not from an age perspective, but for a focus on teaching others copy, which is far more enjoyable because it's far more profitable for everyone. But I still take the occasional writing gig that comes along that has the zeros behind it that warrants it. And this one in particular, they're wanting to have this product appeal to every single person on the planet. And I'm like, I get your logic. I mean, I understand why from a media buying aspect. But man, if you niche this down, you can spend far less money and create a far more bigger impact with it. But that's not what they're interested in.
I think people believe that, at least to a large extent, but they're afraid that they may not capture that niche. Mm-hmm. And then if they didn't do things in a broad enough fashion, they lost everybody else too.
Right. Yeah. I'm just going to go back to look at the mentors, if you study financial mentors at all, from Warren Buffett to Steve Jobs
to Jason Hartman.
To Jason Hartman. Yes.
For investing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the best kept secret ever. One of the best things that they say is focus on one thing. I mean, Buffett takes, one investment a year or a month? Right. It's something ridiculously low. Focus on one thing and master it. So if you're afraid to focus on your niche and master it, you're either in the wrong business or pick another niche. Mm-hmm. Pick something that you are so confident in that you can do that. And don't get me wrong. I have a diet book that would appeal to anyone wanting to go on a diet. But even in that, I polarize. I will have a section inside my copy always, and you should too. This is who should never buy this product. And I actually like to start with that. I actually like to start with a page that says, take this quiz to make sure that you're cool enough to have my product, basically, is what it is saying. So it's like, if you are meet the following criteria, do not click on that next button. It's reverse psychology to the infinite degree, but it's also a massively cool way to justify the person clicking. So in other words, the clicks you're going to get are going to be much higher in conversions because they're pre-qualified.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it also kicks the tire kickers out. You know, on my 3X product, I say, look, if you're not willing to invest at least $3,000 or more into your business, then I hear the post office is hiring.
You know, right.
You're not part of the cool kids club, and that's only the people I want to deal with. Right. So I think so that kind of an honest approach. And let me just say one more thing, if I can, Jason, if we have the time, for about what's missing is honesty. And I mean, like, just balls to the walls, as gutty as you can, honest in your copy. I don't mean to say don't use like wild examples or humorous stories or things like that that have some shreds of truth to them but are kind of exaggerated, a big fish story. I'm talking about honesty when it comes down to the product itself, the results they're going to expect, the amount of work they're going to put into it, et cetera. I mean, I'll use work in 3X, I'll use it as it's a qualification to even get the product. You have to click on something saying, I'm willing to do this. I know that nothing comes magically. I'm not going to press a button and out comes, you know, a multi-million dollar sales page. So, you know, I'm just going to speak bluntly and honestly to them. And the people that won't buy are people that would refund you anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so John, let's talk about modality marketing and your VSL product. I mean, you really have an incredibly comprehensive product. This solves a lot of problems. I mean, I was just amazed when I got into the system and looked at all of the ways you've just kind of automated this and made it pretty easy.
My pitch is this. It's as easy as it's ever going to get.
Yeah.
Nothing is easy. In fact, I avoid using the word easy in sales copy unless it really is easy. Pop this pill and presto, you become instantly handsome. I take those pills, by the way. And
they're not working.
They're not working, I know. But so that's easy. I could say, yeah, it's an easy way to become instantly handsome. But that doesn't exist, right? So what I say is, look, it's not easy. But it's as easy as humanly possible. It's as easy as it will ever get. So if you're looking for anything easier, you might want to check out the neighboring planet, you know, when we find extraterrestrial life. Maybe they figured it out. But as far as we know, this is as easy as it gets. But so, yeah, the principle behind is called 3X Accelerator. And the reason 3X is the brand, Accelerator is what it actually does. It accelerates your sales. So reason for Accelerator being so effective is the fact that, A, it has been made as easy as possible. I took a whole bunch of the most high-converting video sales letters, and that's what VSL stands for, video sales letter, and put the slides in themselves into a template that is literally click, choose the copy that you want, edit it to your liking, and save, and it saves a slide inside the software, and you keep going until you're literally learning the art of copywriting without having to become a copywriter as you go. But as you go, you're also building your own sales letter. So that's really cool. And that's why people have done so well with it. It's taken the friction out of learning. So one of the things I'm sure you're familiar with, you buy a course and it's got 29 videos and you get through the first three videos and then the baby cries or the wife calls or something else happens. You go on vacation to Maui and you, next thing you know, you get back and it's 6 months later and they're collecting dust, right? Well, the way to get around that was to put a lot of money into proprietary software that kind of bugs you. You know, it doesn't let you off the hook that easy. I'll send you emails, you know, constantly and say, hey, how are you? Are you past step one yet? Get in there and do it and really, really just put your mind to it and just go in there, click the buttons, make the right choices, learn some art and skill while you're at it. Put your own voice into it. It's not a machine that spits out the same copy for everybody. That would suck, right? It's a machine that's allowed non-copywriters to earn over $1 billion. I'd said that with a B, and that's correct, $1 billion in revenue since this came out. And the reason why is because it's not cookie cutter. It's as easy as it gets while still teaching you the stronger elements of copywriting to where you could just type it into a little slide and save.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. So how does that address the modality marketing concept?
Yeah, modality marketing is the principle that we need to be hit by different areas of modalities. Modalities can be sensory, for example, touch, taste, that kind of thing. So those are sensory modalities. And I'll use those words a lot. They're already in the copy, so you don't have to think about, oh, wow, am I being modality enough? No one ever asked that because it's already in the copy. But one thing that you will see a lot of in my copy is I'll have sentences that say, you see, one of the things that people really feel when they think about fitness is blank. Now, what did I just do? How many modalities was in that sentence? Three. You see, so it doesn't have to be like, see, you see, it can be used in a phrase like that. Your subconscious doesn't matter. You can even spell the words, the wrong word spelled correctly, for example, works as a modality as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really touching story about blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That gets the sensory modality of feeling, touch. So that stuff is very important because the mind has to operate on all of those angles. When you start talking about think your way through this and your brain will know, and even that sentence, your brain will know, that's two thinking right back to back, brain know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of copywriters will appeal to two or three areas of senses. They wouldn't think of taste, for example, for a copywriting sales letter, but I have taste all through mine, like the taste of success, the taste of freedom that comes from. You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Is one modality more powerful than the other? I mean, certainly most of our data comes from our visual sense, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one or two more modalities you want to favor?
Yeah. For me, it's emotion. So it comes from the feeling and sensory modalities. So more akin to the words feel, touch, experience, explore. Those are the ones that take you out of that left brain. And I know that I'm being overly simplistic with left and right brain, but for the sake of the conversation, left being logical, right being more emotional, puts you more into that right brain, upper eye area of kinesthetically speaking, of what you want to think about. So yeah, people respond to feeling more than thinking. And if you want to take to simplify modalities, you can think of it this way. 75% of all sales are done from an emotional level and 25% from a rational level. And the 25% rationality is usually geared to justify what they just bought. So it's not too abstract to say that nearly every purchase you make is based on an emotional decision. And you may believe that it's completely rational. And I'll give you an example if I have the time.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's say you don't have a car. Your car was stolen and you need a new car because you work across town. That's a very logical need. There's nothing wrong with saying, I logically need a new car. So I'm going to write a sales page and say, hey, do you need a new car? Get this car.
That's not too powerful.
It's not going to work. And here's why. Because no one says, no human says, very few humans say, I need a car. They say, I want a red Volvo with tan leather interior that goes X miles per the gallon and that's, you know, hybrid, whatever. So those are all wants. And every single one of those wants is based on an emotional response. Red makes me feel powerful. Leather makes me feel rich. You see where we're going?
Mm-hmm.
It's all feeling-based, guys. So that's the most important aspect of copy from a modality perspective, is to talk to the feelings. And I think copywriters do this, and they make a huge mistake. They do this with women, and for women's product, they don't do it with men. It's a terrible mistake. It's reverse misogyny. It's actually just misogyny, but I'm just kind of playing around with the term.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Like, yeah, men aren't emotional. Just, you know, forget that with guys. That's not true at all.
It's not true at all.
Men might be more shy to admit it, but they're every bit as emotional as women, and women are every bit as logical as men. So you need to play this game on both sides of the fence.
Yeah. Very, very good point. I assume you're going to say you prefer video to any of the other mediums for marketers, or do you still like text copy a lot?
Oh, yeah. I really like it all. Mm-hmm. So here's what's interesting. When VSLs first came out, I was the first guy to put a video sales letter that people, you know, the ugly style video sales letter where it's just the words that are black words with red words that are highlighted. And those red words are NLP. That's where I got the reputation for being an NLP master. They're just NLP commands, you know, or NLP suggestions. Like I might suggest the word listen, for example. I see to this very day, I see video sales letters that look like ransom notes and they have no idea what they're highlighting and they just do it completely wrong. But the point is that style was my invention. And when it came out, Ryan Dice, who's a very famous internet marketer, said, well, text-based sales letters are just dead. Now, I know that Ryan doesn't use any text-based sales letters that I'm aware of right now and uses all video and VSL stuff to do that. I certainly think VSLs are the most powerful tool that you can use in most situations. However, why would you like say, for example, your legs are the most powerful muscles in your body, so I'm just going to train them. I'm not going to train my upper body at all. That just doesn't make any sense. So for me, it's all about training your entire body. So it's the same thing with marketing, right? So I'm going to have the most powerful weapon in my arsenal, which is a video sales letter in most industries. But I'm also based on modalities, because some people are not as visual as others. Some people are not as auditory as others. Some people like to read, right? So I will also have a text-based version, which is why Sellerator kicks out both a video sales letter and then the text that you can just simply pop into an HTML editor and presto, you have a sales page.
Can you do this with just audio, say on a podcast?
Sure. Audio is one way of doing that. We've tested audio and then having the podcast have the audio transcribed underneath it. And every time the transcription beat it. Now, obviously, if people are listening to this in their car, that's not going to work. And that's why, by the way, I really love, we've talked about this at the Mastermind, I love podcasting. My podcast shot up to number 47 on iTunes and my third podcast, which is pretty damn good. I used a marketing trick to get it to do that. And it's a really simple trick. And then my mic broke. And I haven't done a podcast since. And I'm speaking into my new mic now. So I'm going to start that up at the first of the year. But podcasting's awesome because you can listen to it in, again, it's a different modality of, and this is where you go. And modality has multiple definitions. You have a modality of mobile. You have a modality of static. You have a modality of activity. I know that sounds really strange, but think about how different you perceive and want to ingest information when you're on a treadmill versus when you're sitting on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the same. When you're driving your car, it's going to be a podcast or, you know, music or whatever. When you're sitting at your desk, it may not always be a podcast because you're listening to the podcast and you're doing something else. So you're reading and listening at the same time. And that's the part of the brain a video sales letter taps into. You're reading and listening at the same time, which increases retention.
Very good. Very good point. Do you want to mention anything about your special offer?
Yeah, it depends on what time of year they're getting this too. Sellerator 3 just came out two and a half months ago. And so we have a special offer on that that has got $1,000 off. And that's an actual real deal, real $1,000 off. And we're also giving away a product that I sold for several years, $4,000, $997 to be specific, we're giving that product away for free. And that's what I call a $100 million conversion seminar. And the reason why it's called that is because the video sales letters in that room were some of the top guys in the world. They were making over $100 million a year with video sales letters, and I'm teaching the class. So why would these guys making all this money come to me? Well, because I help them make more. Mm-hmm. So if I can help them, just think what I can do for the average person. It's 8 hours of video. So this is where a lot of people bought the original course and said, man, I love the course, but that 8 hours of video just made me millions or tens of thousands, depending on your scope and your reach, of course. So we're giving that away for free. And what I did for the clients that bought it is I gave them another gift that was worth even more money, and then everybody's happy. So that's what's going on right now. I'm not going to keep that for free for very long.
Good stuff. Well, John, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Any closing thought, just real quick?
I will close with this. If you draw a circle on a piece of paper right now, do this in your mind, and you draw a line right down the middle, and you write on the left-hand side of the circle, my sales copy. On the right-hand side, write everything else. Make that your day planner for the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. I challenge you to do this, and I dare you to prove me wrong. If you don't double the amount of money that you make online, I would be really, really surprised, because copy is the front line of every sale ever made on any website. So you need to get this stuff down. You don't need to be a professional, but you do need to have the tools that a professional can give you.
Good stuff. Well, John Benson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to check out HartmanMedia.com for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.